Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's always the post-game armchair quarterbacking when it comes to national elections. Of course, the Republican Party this last time around put forward Mitt Romney, who had a few strikes against him with the evangelical voter to begin with. But that wasn't perhaps the reason that he didn't win the White House. Maybe there's something more fundamental beyond Mitt Romney in the Republican establishment that misunderstands, doesn't get the evangelical as a voter. Joining us to talk about evangelical voters and Mitt Romney's loss, John West. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, editor of the book The Magician's Twin, C.S. Lewis on Science, Scientism, and Society, and he's author of a recent column for First Things titled The Evangelical Voter. John, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, thanks for having me.
The Republican establishment, what don't they get, basically, about the evangelical as a voter?
You know, I think the bottom line is that they adopt the secular media's caricature of evangelicals as stupid yahoos who are dead weight on the party, so they want to try to avoid them as much as possible. And I think that feeds a lot of other perceptions. But I think the bottom line is that they view evangelicals not as a help in their coalition, but as something to try to placate, perhaps, but are so extreme that whatever they would want is something you want to hide. And, you know, I think their perception is maybe some of the politicians in the last election, like Todd Akin and some others who were perhaps not as well-versed in how to speak about certain issues, that's their caricature. And because of that, they miss actually both the great strength there and also a way to broaden the base of their party, because evangelicals are not just white people. They're also African-American evangelicals, Hispanic evangelicals, and in a lot of different areas where the Republicans really need to broaden the base of their party.
Now, see, that's what I found most fascinating by your take at First Things, is that the conventional wisdom is to understand and to try and meet the expectations of the evangelical voter would necessarily narrow the base of the party. You say not so. So make your case there.
Well, for example, on many social issues, whether it be life issues or marriage or other things, there is a lot of interest in those issues among not just white evangelicals, but also African-Americans and Hispanics and Asians. But also, you know, the perception that, say, all evangelical voters are, say, just going to support, just supporting big business or crony capitalism, and are just diehard supporters of free market economics and don't need to be persuaded about the justice of free market solutions, which I think can be done, I think also is an issue. Mitt Romney had a big problem, according to exit polls, not just with some evangelicals, about 30% of them, but also with blacks and Hispanics because on the economic message. And I think too often people think evangelical necessarily, you know, conservative economically. Well, I have a lot of evangelical friends who aren't that way. I happen to think free market solutions are the way to go, but you need to be able to show people and argue and show people that a free market, say, solution to healthcare is better than Obamacare. You can't simply, you know, inveigh against Obamacare being bad. You have to actually make an argument for the justice of caring for people using free market solutions.
So in effect, they were alienated, the Republican establishment, not Mitt Romney necessarily by himself, but the direction of that campaign was alienating the evangelical voter and kind of misunderstanding what their real concerns are when it comes to economic issues.
Well, I think a certain contingent, a very important minority, and in states like Ohio, where he actually got, and Colorado, where Romney got 8 to 10 points less than, say, George Bush did in 2004. I think in those states where economics, especially Ohio, were very important, it did hurt him with, say, about 30% of the evangelical electorate, and that did help make the difference in those two states. I mean, had he gotten more of those people, had got the same percentage that George W. Bush had in those two states, he would have won the states. So I think economics is certainly part of it. You know, also broadening the base, there are religious liberty concerns that I think a lot of people don't realize that really reach out to African-American and Hispanic evangelicals in places like New York City, where they're being denied the right to rent public school facilities on the same basis as other groups. You know, speaking out for that, not just on the contraception issue, which is of great interest to Catholics, but also on issues of religious liberty for churches to rent public facilities, which really impacts a lot of the evangelical, especially people of color.
What role did Romney's Mormonism play, do you think, with the evangelical voter?
You know, it's hard to say. I know anecdotally from, you know, people I've talked to, both in my church and elsewhere in the larger sphere, that I think it did pose some issues. You'd really need good drill down after the effect poll to try to ferret that out. But I think probably it was not as great as one might think. I think, again, Ohio is very instructive because nationally, Romney did get something like 78% of the white evangelical voter. In Ohio, he got 68%, which was down 8 points from what George Bush had gotten. That was significant. In Ohio, a Rust Belt state, lots of economic hardship, and I think that his inability to connect on that level with the justice and compassionate nature of, say, free market solutions and to reach out to ordinary people on that, I think probably had much more of an effect.
What about the social issues, so-called social issues? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, here's the other deal. I think the mainstream or the establishment Republicans think social issues, bad, run away from them. Well, the problem is if you run away from them and you don't have a proactive, positive way of talking about them, then you get ill-considered comments by people. And the vacuum is, you know, people would point to some of the politicians who said things that weren't really as eloquent as they should have been and maybe just flat-out wrong. And so Romney just sort of distance himself from them, but that's no substitute for having a positive agenda for yourself. And so, say, on abortion, there are all sorts of positive ways to talk about caring both for women and children and for creating a culture of life and promoting adoption and helping people in hardship so they don't feel that they feel pressed to abortion. So there are lots of positive ways, in fact, the pro-life movement has come up with, that are winning ways to talk about things. But I think in their mind, they go out to cocktails with people from the New York Times, and that's their mindset of some of these elite Republicans, that they think this is just an election loser, when in fact it's not. Of course, the real reason to promote those things is because it's right. But I also happen to think that they're not electoral losers if they're done in a wise and proactive way. But you've got to not run away from the issue. You've got to own it.
So what does the Republican establishment need to learn in the next 4 years and its prospective candidate in the next general election about the evangelical voter? How would you put it with about a minute or so?
I think they should get out of Washington, D.C. and, first of all, start visiting some of the churches and actually talking to people who are evangelicals, and not just in Bible Belt states, but also in Mid-America states where the Republican, and places like Colorado and places like Ohio, where they weren't able to win this last time. And so they need to start listening, and they need to start developing some proactive agenda items, not just be reactive.
With only about 30 seconds, do you see anybody candidate-wise who seems to get this?
Unfortunately, no. Not yet. But, you know, who knows? Bobby Jindal might. I'm not sure. Yeah.
What about Paul Ryan? Could the irony be that it's a Roman Catholic who actually gets the evangelical voter better than perhaps.
Well, no,
someone...
actually, no, that's right. I have great respect for Paul Ryan, and I think he might actually be able to do that. I think he was hamstrung in this last election. You know, they didn't want him to outshine the head and Romney, and so he wasn't really allowed to do all that he can. He is extremely articulate and thoughtful, and a very faith based person, but also who can reach across the aisle. So yeah, no, that, I have great respect for Paul Ryan.
John West is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He's editor of the book The Magician's Twin, C.S. Lewis on Science, Scientism, and Society. We'll post a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, as well as a link to his recent column for First Things titled The Evangelical Voter. Issues ETC, click Listen on Demand. John, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, thanks for having me.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, like we do every week with Pastor Tom Baker. And we'll be in Luke chapter 4, Jesus begins to heal. In Luke's gospel, it begins with the preaching, and it's the preaching that garners him the opposition that we heard about last time when we talked with Pastor Baker. And now he begins to do, as that opposition in Nazareth wanted him to do, do here what you did in Capernaum. He heals many. Why does Jesus heal? What does it mean that our Savior came and reversed the results of sin before he went to the cross, made the blind to see and the lame to walk, and those who were infirm made them healthy again? What does that mean? How does it fit into his saving work? We'll answer that question in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Then we'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about the Boy Scouts' ban against gay members and leaders that's being apparently reconsidered at some level. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Edie Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.